Think about all of those. You know, we've been looking at stories from Jeremiah's life and how we're going to be looking today at how he grew through adversity. There are also many who have offered up their stories to us in song that we can sing together. And so today we'll sing together hymn number 117, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. So today we continue to look into Jeremiah's life and look at different stories from his life to see how he was shaped and molded and growing into the person that God was calling him to be. But at the same time, remembering the fact that his faith impacted the lives of others and the faith of others impacted his life as well. And so together they had to stand before God in the light of all that was happening. I want you to think back to the beginning of Jeremiah, first chapters, the first verses that we read. Who was with Jeremiah as he was being shaped and formed in the womb? Anybody? Anybody want to take a guess? Absolutely. God says, I was there with you, Jeremiah, when you were being shaped and formed there. And then Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. Not to his family, not to the community, not to his nation, but to all the nations, and in fact to all generations. And Jeremiah, like all good prophets, immediately had an excuse. Do you remember what that excuse was? I'm too young. I'm just a kid, God. What can I say? Who's ever going to listen to me? And God made him a promise. He said, don't worry, you just go where I send you and I'll put the words you need in your mouth. And so Jeremiah began to do that. And we've looked at some of the words that God put in his mouth over the last few weeks. And we've looked at some of those challenges that came with speaking those words. We looked at where some of those words came from and some of the creative ways that he really communicated them. Like last week when we looked at what happened down at the potter's house. And today we're going to look at what he did with that message and what the result of it all was. But before we go there, I want to share with you a story. A story of a young boy that loved the outdoors. He loved the nature. He loved studying it. He loved learning about it. He loved watching it come alive in all the different seasons of the year. He'd heard time and time again about how caterpillars go and build cocoons, and how something happens to them inside of this little shell that they get together, how something happens inside of it, and magically when that gets ripped open in the end, suddenly there's a butterfly that comes flying out. The thought of how that kind of transformation could take place left him awestruck. And he wanted to see it in the worst way. And as life would have it, one day he would come across a cocoon hanging on a stalk. And he brought that stalk to a place where he could watch it. And hour after hour he would watch what was going on. And nothing seemed to happen. And with all little boys, young boys, he just continued to be more and more anxious for what was going to happen. He wanted to know what was inside. It's like taking a present and putting it under a Christmas tree and expecting a child to stand there and watch it for hours on end. That's hard to do. Maybe you remember what it was like for yourself. Maybe you know how hard it is to watch a child when they're going through that. Well, suddenly, at one moment, things began to happen. Something began to move around. There was this little bit of a pushing out of the cocoon here, and another spot down there, and another one over here. And his heart began to race, and he began to get excited. He wondered what was on the inside, what his new friend was going to look like. How would he fly, and how would it all happen? And so for hours, he continued to watch. And that movement became more and more. And suddenly he began to get anxious inside. He said, wow, that butterfly is trying awful hard to get out. What if he can't get out? What if my friend can't get out of this cocoon? And I'll never know what he looks like. And finally, he gave in to that impatience. He gave in to that desire to help. And he reached into the desk drawer. And he got out the beautiful pocket knife he'd been given the year before. And with the skill of an up-and-coming surgeon, he opened up that cocoon. He helped the butterfly out onto the desk. But rather than this beautiful friend that he had hoped to see that was going to take flight and gracefully buzz all over the room, there was this blob. The wings were thick and heavy. They were filled with liquid, blood-like substance. And he couldn't imagine how this butterfly would ever take off, how he would ever have those transparent wings that he wanted to see. And in fact, the butterfly never would. Because what the little boy didn't know was that it's that struggle to get out of the cocoon that really makes the transformation complete. It's where that butterfly really comes to the place where he's going to be able to fly like nobody's business. It's in that struggling and fighting to get out of the cocoon that all the blood gets worked out of the wings. That they become thin and transparent and become light enough to fly. Have you ever been there in life? Have you ever been inside of that cocoon, struggling, fighting, trying to get out, wishing somebody would reach out and cut it open and set you free from whatever it is that you had to deal with? Have you ever been that one standing by waiting for hope to come in somebody else's life? Standing like the watchman looking for the first rays of dawn that are going to come over the mountain and bring hope into the life of somebody that you care about? It's hard to do, no matter which side of the coin you're on, no matter which side of the situation or the circumstance you're in, it's difficult. Jeremiah was on that fence. He didn't like watching the people struggle. He didn't like watching the challenges that were happening in society. And the worst part was people didn't even know the struggle was taking place. He was watching the very fiber of his society come unglued. He was watching people fill up the temple on the Sabbath till it was overflowing to hear words of encouragement, to hear words of hope, and to have somebody tell him that it was all okay, only to walk out the door and to do whatever they wanted. And everybody was paying the price, and he knew it. And so God began to show him what was happening in a deeper level, beyond the circumstances, beyond what people were looking at with their eyes, and began to help him see what the struggle was really all about, and also what was going to happen if things didn't change. You remember while he was down at the potter's house, God began to show him how he was shaping and molding people and the people of Israel. How they were like a clay pot being shaped and molded and even broken and reformed because of all the things that were happening. Before we can really look into what's going on in chapter 20, we've got to pause for just a moment in chapter 19 to see what message Jeremiah really received at the potter's house and how he brought it out into the world. God says to Jeremiah in chapter 19, he says, "Go and buy a clay jar from the potter. And then take along some of the elders and take along the priests of the temple. And I want you to go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, near the entrance of the potsherd gate. And there I'll tell you what to say." And Jeremiah, who's growing in boldness, who's growing in his courage from that young boy he was in the beginning, leads them out to the garbage dump just outside of this gate. And it's there in this place where everybody throws their trash, where people have worshipped in the god, other gods for many generations, where even human beings have been sacrificed, and in fact, we're still being sacrificed during the dark of night. And he knew God wasn't pleased about it. He brought him right to this place, so that in that being there, they could know that God really knew what was going on. And as he shares these words, as he begins to show and to talk about what's going on in the country and with people, God says, "Jeremiah, take this clay jar that you just bought and smash it." And that's exactly what he did. He picks it up and smashes it beyond recognition right there in the trash heap. And he says, "Folks, if we don't turn back to God, this is what's going to happen to us." Now you can imagine this probably didn't make Jeremiah the most popular preacher in town. Again, this was a time when the temple was full. When it came to time to worship, the place was overflowing with people. And they loved what they were hearing. And the storehouses were full. And everything seemed to be okay. And all the other stuff that was going on, well, it was just kind of swept under the rug, so as not to upset anybody, as not to offend anybody. And at the top of the cleaning crew that was doing the sweeping of everything under the rug and telling everybody what they wanted to hear was a man named Pasher. And that's who we hear about this morning. Here, beginning at chapter 20, verse 1. "When the priest Pasher, son of Immer, the chief officer in the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin, the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pasher released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, 'The Lord's name for you is not Pasher, but it's Magor-Missabib. For this is what the Lord says, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes you'll see them fall by the sword of their enemies. I will hand all of Judah over to the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I'll hand over to their enemies all the wealth of this city, all its products, all its valuables, all its treasures of the kings of Judah. They'll take it all away as plunder, and they'll carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pasher, and all who live in your house, you will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die. You'll be buried.
you and all your friends to whom you've prophesied lies. And now Jeremiah turns to God in prayer. O Lord, you've deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long and everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire that's shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he'll be deceived. Then we'll prevail over him. Then we'll take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. For he rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. And may God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and more importantly, to the coming alive of his words in our lives today. Jeremiah offers up these words, and rather than being rewarded for being faithful, he ends up being beaten and locked in the gates, in these stockades outside the gate. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever done the right thing and felt like life just all fell apart because of it? Do you ever try to do your best and to step out and it all just backfires in your face? And you say, why in the world do I bother? Why in the world am I going to spend the energy doing the right thing when nobody really cares? This is where Jeremiah is at. But he doesn't give up. When Pastor lets him go, God puts words right back in his mouth again. And he says, Pastor, God's going to change your name. You're no longer going to be popular. In fact, your land's going to be stripped away from you. You're going to be taken with everybody else to Babylon. You're going to end up in exile. Somebody else is going to have everything you own. And there you'll die and be buried. The end of the story. But Jeremiah is not a cocky, proud, arrogant prophet here. Jeremiah is a man who's struggling with every word that comes out of his mouth and every step that God is asking him to take because it just seems too hard to do. But Jeremiah knows that it's okay to be honest with God. Jeremiah crawls out to him and complains to him. He says, God, you overpowered me. You forced me to do this. You made it all happen. Jeremiah knew deep in his heart it wasn't true. He knew that he had stepped out in faith because the bottom line is God gives us free will. We have the choice whether to follow, to step out in faith and do the things that God wants us to do, to speak up in the places that God wants us to speak up or not. And Jeremiah had chosen to. But it didn't mean it wasn't exhausting. And it didn't mean the wounds he was receiving along the way didn't hurt. But did you notice how when he becomes honest with God, what happened? Did you hear how as he's just pouring his heart out before God, that somewhere in the middle of it all, he remembers who God really is. He remembers, oh yeah, it was God who was there in the womb with me. It was God who was there in the shaping and the forming. It was God who promised to put these words in his mouth and to never in my mouth and to never leave me. And suddenly God goes from being the one that forced him into doing something he didn't want to do, to being the one that's going to give him victory over all the things that he has to face. Because the bottom line is the journey wasn't going to get any easier after he had done this. Jeremiah would live to see his nation go into Israel, into exile. In fact, he'd be able to enjoy some freedom and not have to go with them and not have to be with them through the suffering. But he would go through it all with them in the end. Because of the heart that God had given him, not only for God, but for people. So where did Jeremiah find this boldness? Where did this courage come from? Did you hear it? It came from somewhere deep inside.
It came like a fire in his bones, and it became so painful to hold on to it that he had to speak out. God comes to dwell in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We talk about that through the Christmas season as we get ready for Pentecost, and we talk a little bit about how it happens at Pentecost. That God comes to live and to breathe through us. God comes to let that fire build up inside of us that we can step out in faith and do what needs to be done. As you look back at your life, what challenges have you been through? What situations have you had to face? And how has God helped you to grow through the adversity that you found there? How was God faithful in bringing healing to the wounds when you stepped out in faith and did the right thing, even when it wasn't the popular thing? If you're in the midst of a season of adversity right now, in what ways might God be reaching out to you to give you the strength to do what needs to be done, to fight that good fight that leads to transformation from the inside out? In what ways can you see the hand of God reaching down to you? Or are you like that caterpillar stuck in the cocoon where you just can't see anything but the darkness that surrounds you? If this is where you're at, I want to encourage you to wait like that watchman looking for the dawn that comes, because God's a God who's faithful in the midst of adversity. As I was reading the scripture and thinking about the story, that the way that Jeremiah shattered that vase out at that pottery out in the dump, I couldn't help but think of another one who found himself standing on a dump outside of the city gate. His name was Jesus. Crucified on a garbage dump. Set aside all that he had in heaven so that he could, and taking on all the adversity that comes with being in this world, so that he could put to death the final word that sin seemed to have and that brokenness seemed to have in our lives. So that he could rise up on the third day and God's glory could be revealed in a new way. In the midst of adversity, how is God's glory, how is God's faithfulness being demonstrated through your life? My guess is it's probably in ways that you could never imagine. And I pray that someday you do know. That God says, I saw how you handled this situation. That somebody says, I saw how you handled this situation, and I can't believe the grace that you had to deal with it all. That's where we see how God works. That's how we find growth in those seasons of adversity. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for your promise to be with us always. We give you thanks for meeting each of us here where we're at this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that your love is steadfast, that you may remain loyal to the promises that you make to us, just like you did with Jeremiah. And I pray that you'd help us to have the courage and boldness to be honest with you like Jeremiah was. Pouring out to you the struggles and the things that we just don't know that we can deal with anymore, in order to find the strength and the courage that you and you alone can offer. So, Lord, as you meet us where we're at today, help us to offer our lives up to you, that you might shine through us in ways that we could never dream of asking. As always, Lord, we look forward to what you can do with all of this in ways that we could never dream of asking. In Jesus' mighty and precious and never-ending name. Amen.